Welcome to The Astrology Show with your host, Kelly Fox. Each week, Kelly will give you access to the current transits that are a valuable tool which provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has through our sun sign. Understanding the current planetary influences each week can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. Sometimes, events in your life may seem completely random, but there is a pattern to the order of these events, one set in motion in part by you and in part by the planets and stars in the sky and their influence on your life here on Earth. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, if you're going to get that promotion, move to a new city, or fall in love, tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. It can help you anticipate problems before they occur, give you tools to cope with changes, and help you look forward to the wonderful days ahead. Kelly Fox is a professional astrologer and internet pioneer who launched Astrology.com, one of the first and most successful astrology websites. Today, her passion lies with her new site, TheAstrologer.com, where she brings a modern-day approach to an ancient wisdom. Please join Kelly each week to learn more about how the planets can align for you.
Hello, and welcome to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about the moon phases and the asteroids, as well as Chiron. I get lots of questions about Chiron, and Chiron is spelt C-H-I-R-O-N. Lots of questions about Chiron. It's a little bit confusing, so I thought it's about time I did a show that will talk about Chiron, the asteroids, and the moon phases. Now, there's so much more to astrology than just sun signs and daily horoscopes. And of course, that is a really great place to start with the signs, the 12 signs of the zodiac, and then each day on the internet, in newspapers and magazines, daily horoscopes. And daily horoscopes, if done correctly, like by how yours truly does daily horoscopes, where you can find your daily horoscope weekly and monthly on the On Times website. Really, a daily horoscope is based off your sun sign and what the current planets are doing to your sign, and more specifically, what the moon is doing to your sun sign, or which sign the moon is in and how that gets along with your sun sign. For example, the moon in Aquarius, how does that get on with you as an Aries or you as a Taurus, and so on. So not only do astrologers use the planets and their connection to interpret somebody's chart or look at their chart wheel based off date, time and place of birth, but there are so many more things that we as astrologers look at when doing a chart reading or a personalized reading for somebody. It's not only taking the planets into consideration at the time you were born, but also where they are at the moment, which is called transit, how your planets get on with someone else's planets, and that's called synastry or compatibility, and so on and so on. And the moon phases. And the moon phases are a vital part of astrology. The moon is, we know it's not a planet, but astrologers classify the sun and moon as planets. The sun is a star, the moon is a satellite to the earth. But just to keep things simple, because astrology can get real complex really fast, we classify the sun and moon as planets just to simplify things. So the moon, as many of you probably know, control the tides on Earth, and us as humans are over 80% water. So of course we're affected by the moon. The moon is all about emotions and feelings and our daily life. And when I'm doing a reading, I look, depending on what I'm looking at in the chart, but typically the sun represents father or masculine and the moon represents mother or female type of energy. So the moon is really, really important in astrology. And in a natal chart, the moon's position will be dependent on the exact birth time. So it's really important if you want to have an astrology reading that you have a very accurate birth time. Don't guess it. And if you're not quite sure, always let the astrologer know, because the birth time, not only is the moon dependent on the birth time, but also the houses. And what I mean by houses is if you've seen your chart wheel, then you will know it's a circle divided into 12 pieces, and that is very dependent on the time you were born. And if you have not had your chart, if you've never seen your chart or your chart wheel, go to my website, theastrologer.com, and you can find under the astrology menu bar, there's chart wheel, and you can get a free chart wheel there. And each week, I talk about where the planets are every week, typically, and you can follow along and know where your planets are, your natal planets, and then how each week's planets are affecting you. And yes, the planets can move really fast, particularly the inner planets, and that means the sun, and I know the sun does not move, but from our perspective here on Earth, it does. So the sun out through Mars, you'll be surprised at how fast those planets can move at times. Now, the moon is the fastest moving, and I say planet in quotes, planet, and its cycle is every about every 29 days, every 28 to 29 days. And so what it does is it moves through, there's 12 signs of the zodiac, it moves through each sign every 2.5 days. So it's moving really fast, it's connecting to the other planets, and it just keeps going around in this cycle. And it has its phases. So you've probably heard of the phases of the moon. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. There are 8 noticeable phases of the moon, and there are 4 main phases of the moon. So the 8 noticeable phases of the moon are the new moon, the crescent moon, the first quarter moon, the gibbous moon, the full moon, the disseminating moon, the third quarter or last quarter moon, and finally the balsamic moon, which is quite rare when I do my chart readings for people. I rarely see people born under the balsamic moon, which means that the moon is one sign before the sun. That's quite unusual. And individuals, and I will cover it a bit later on in the show, but individuals born during the balsamic moon phase, in this lifetime, it's all about endings and wrapping things up because it's the phase just before the new moon. And I know every month you hear me talk about the new moon in a different sign each month, of course, but every month we have a new moon and a full moon and, of course, all the other moon phases. But the new moons are all about new beginnings. And so the phase just before that new moon is a balsamic moon, and that is definitely about endings. Da-da-da-da. I'm also going to be talking about asteroids, and asteroids are really important, and I always use asteroids in my readings. They're a very important component to astrology, and they are always or typically overlooked. So asteroids are small and rocky, they don't qualify as planets, and they sit between between Mars and Jupiter in the asteroid belt. And there are lots and lots and lots of asteroids, but astrologers typically use just the 4 largest asteroids, which I will be talking about tonight, and that's Ceres, Juno, Vesta, and Pallas, or Pallas Athena. And they are the feminine archetypes because typically the mythology associated with each planetary energy is very masculine. The only female planets we have are the Moon and Venus, and all the rest are masculine. Mercury is androgynous, but really if pushed, it'd be pushed more to the male energy. So I'm also going to be talking about Chiron, which I just mentioned before. Chiron is, I get a lot of questions about Chiron. People get very confused. Its classification I know this sort of sounds like an excuse when I say it, but it's a planetoid. Can I get away with saying that? It's not an asteroid. It's not a planet. It sits between Saturn and Uranus. So let's call it a planetoid for the sake of simplicity once again. It's not an asteroid and it's not a planet. So what is it? Hey, a planetoid. So let's start with the moon. I've been really wanting to do this for a while, talk about the moon and the moon phases. And I know I talk a lot about the moon in probably every show that I do, and that's because the moon is so important. So the moon, as I said, it's about our emotional life, our feelings. And as I said, it controls the tides on Earth. And, you know, if you think about it, because, you know, astrology is very symbolic. So if you think about the signs of the zodiac, you know, Aries, the ram with the big horns, and Aries rules the head and is very headstrong, that sort of thing. Astrology is very, very symbolic. And even reading a chart, I'm reading the symbols. You know, it's a whole different language within itself, reading these little glyphs or symbols. So astrology does have its own language and language of symbols. And so if you think about the moon and the moon being associated with the water on Earth and the tides, and then pulling it into your emotions. And so emotions are ebbing and flowing, and they come and go in cycles. So just as the moon pulls at the tides, it also pulls at our subconscious mind. It can be subtle, it can be mysterious, it's rhythmic, but it's as predictable as the tide rolls in and back out again. So, you know, as I said, we track the moon. It changes sign every 2.5 days. It has the shortest cycle out of all of the planets. The moon, you know, it governs all kinds of cycles. It's associated with women's monthly cycles, very much connected to the monthly phases of the moons. Our feelings and our subconscious mind also lie within the moon's domain. So our emotional nature is influenced by where the moon lies in our chart. Not only what sign of the zodiac it's in, but how it does connect to the other planets in the chart. Now, if you think about the complexity of that, it's like someone's natal chart is very complex within itself. It's not just the planets in signs and how they connect with each other, but then you've got, of course, you know, the planetary influences for any given time and how those planets affect your planets. And then if you're in a relationship, or, you know, even with work colleagues, family members, it's like then you've got their natal planets and how today's planets are affecting them, and then how all of this stuff mixed in the big cooking pot all comes out. So it is very complex, and as humans, we are complex beings, and the planets do explain and reflect that. So the moon, of course, seems to be the most complex in some ways, especially when it hooks into or connects with one of the outer planets, such as Pluto or even Saturn. You know, I can tell straight away the emotions of the individual, the flavor of that, depending on the connection it has to another planet, or even by transit or where the planets are right now. So the moon can tell you a lot about your emotional nature. So in other words, whether you process your feelings easily or bottle them up, whether you tend towards contentment, anger, sensitivity, or what have you. Also, your attitudes toward love and intimacy are greatly influenced by the moon's placement in your chart. The moon, as I said, is very feminine energy. It's very soft. It's sensitive. It's receptive. Because think about it, up in the sky, you know, you've got the moon. It's a satellite to Earth. And during full moons, I always say every month that it's like a big, great big mirror up in the sky reflecting back at you. And if you look up, you know, this great big luminous round ball in the sky is reflecting back. And then, of course, during the time of a new moon, the sky is dark. And so that means something that I'm going to cover just a bit later on in the show. So the moon has to do with how you nurture and how you need to be nurtured. So it also relates to things like food and family, protection and caretaking. And then on a daily basis, because the moon, as it moves so fast, it does represent our day-to-day life. So it's you're feeling upset, nervous, calm, contented, or even just blah. So you can look to see where the moon is in the sky at that particular moment. And from there, you can learn a lot about your emotional state. So in other words, where is the moon today and how is that affecting all your planets? Or in your natal chart, meaning at the time you were born and where the planets were at that time, it would be very much about how your moon connects into your, not only your other planets, but how your moon connects into the planets of today or today's planets affecting your moon. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, the moon rules the sign of Cancer, and Cancer is all about home, family, nurturing. So anybody that has a moon in Cancer is someone who is very sensitive, very instinctive, quite emotional, but the moon is very strongly placed when it is in Cancer. And as I said, it all depends on how what the moon connects into with the other planets. So on that note, we are going to take a short break, so stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to The Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the phases of the moon. And a bit later on in the show, I will also be talking about the asteroids and Chiron. So the moon phases, as I was saying just before the break, the moon is reflective and it represents emotions and feelings. It controls the tides on Earth, the water on this Earth. It's a satellite to the Earth. So the moon is that bright, luminous orb we see in the night sky. Of course, I'm talking about when it's a full moon, because when it's a new moon, the night sky is completely dark. We can't see the moon during that phase. And it's the counterpart to the fiery sun in the daytime. So in astrology, the lunar light rules the unconscious realms of our minds. So it's like the stuff dreams are made of. Our instinctual reactions can be affected by the moon's phases over the course of a month. And as I said, it's 29 Earth days. As the moon grows from the beginning with the dark sky all the way through to the balsamic moon, where it is the phase just before the last moon phase, just before the new moon. And so the moon is the fastest moving planet, and yes, it's not a planet, but we call it a planet just to simplify our complex lives. So the moon, of course, it doesn't really shrink or grow. It's just our perspective here on Earth, or our view of the moon from our vantage point here on Earth. It changes due to the relative positions of the sun, earth, and moon, how those three planetary bodies work together, and this is how we get the lunar phases. Now, as I said, there are 8 noticeable phases of the moon: the new moon, the crescent moon, the first quarter moon, the gibbous moon, the full moon, the disseminating moon, the third quarter or last quarter, and finally the balsamic moon. So over time, astrologers have correlated these 8 phases of the moon with certain activities that seem to be in harmony with that particular phase. So for instance, it seems natural to begin something new when the moon is first visible as a small crescent, seen, you know, just after the sun sets at that time. Now, every month, as I said, every month I talk about, in particular, I always talk about the new moon and the full moon, if that's what we have during that week. And the new moon, as I always go on about, is really great for new beginnings, new moon, new beginnings. But before you can have a new beginning, you need to have an ending or a completion. And that's because in the night sky with the new moon, it's a completely dark sky. You can't see the moon. So that's why it's important to wrap things up before moving ahead. Now, the crescent moon, which is the phase just after the new moon, is excellent for new growth or starting new things. And then, of course, the culmination occurs when the moon is full 2 weeks after the new moon. So it's sort of like things come to a head typically around the full moon. And, you know, there's lots of, which I will talk about a bit later, but there's lots and lots of folklore around full moons. And for good reason, I would say sometimes. So the moon is about emotion, and the phases of the moon move so quickly, and it's, the tides ebb and flow. It's all tied in together. So the new moon is the first phase of the moon, and it's an opportune time for new starts and beginnings. So the new moon seems almost non-existent from our point of view here on Earth. When you look up into the sky, there's nothing you can see. It's very dark, and it represents a subconscious mind. So it's like, think about hundreds of years ago before we had electricity, and so there wouldn't be anything lit. You wouldn't be able to see, you know, lights or street lights or anything like that. So the moon would have had a lot more impact on us humans hundreds of years ago. And the moon phases would have been really, really, they're important, but more so because that would have been the only light, night light, of course, along with the stars. So following the phases of the moon are very, very crucial. And one of the first known findings of astrology were the moon phases carved into bone. I forget the year, but it was something crazy, BC, like something really mind-boggling. You know, humans from that long ago were tracking the phases of the moon. So, and now with electricity and light and we can barely look up at the moon, except, you know, the past few months we've had a lot of super moons, so it's sort of like forcing us to take note. And, you know, typically, yes, we'll notice when there's a full moon and sometimes, you know, first quarter, last quarter moon, but it just doesn't seem so as significant as what it would have hundreds of years ago, tracking the phases of the moon. So with the new moon, the first phase, it's sort of like there might be a feeling or a desire brewing within for some sort of change. It's sort of like it's a time to make a change. It's a time to take that step forward, face a new direction, you know, take a new step. It's a time for planting seeds or for birthing new ideas and starting afresh. It's sort of like we're leaving something behind and we're moving forward into something brand new. So creatively speaking, inspiration can be, you know, bubbling and brewing just beneath the surface, barely breaking into conscious thought, because just think, the moon, the night sky is still dark. The moon hasn't appeared yet. It's just beneath the surface, and it's about to come forth into the crescent moon, but we're not quite there yet. So it's a time to sort of nourish your mind. Think about where you want to go this month. Think about where you what direction you want to head in. Now, we also have our own personal new moons. So if you know your natal chart, you know where your moon is, each month you will have your own what we'll call lunar return, which is the equivalent of a new moon. So it's like when you have your own personal lunar return, it's sort of like the birth of the month, disregarding the date of the month, but it's sort of like that is your own personal little monthly, I was going to say new year, but new month. So the new moon is the equivalent of that. So the new moon will affect all of us, of course, in different ways, depending on where that new moon is in your own natal chart. But us as individuals, we do have our own lunar returns. And if you know anything about returns, typically solar returns happen on your birthday, but a lunar return is every month, and some astrologers will cast a chart at that moment and then give you a prediction for that month ahead. And it's actually really, really fascinating. So it ties into the idea of the new moon, and it's about new directions and forging a new path. So, you know, under the new moon, it's time to sort of like evaluate the various areas in your life that you'd like to make changes in or put energy into. Breaking a bad habit is always a good thing to do with a new moon. You know, stop biting your nails or whatever else it might be. Maybe it's time to take that business idea with your best friend a little bit more seriously. Or, of course, starting a new diet is always wonderful during a new moon. And it's really about, the new moon is really about the initial burst of inspiration. You know, ideas can generate movement and so on. So something, looking for something new and different. It's about opening ourselves up to possibilities. So put that first seedling into the ground and see what arises. Now the next phase, phase two, is the crescent moon. And the crescent moon is a progression of the new moon after just a few days and can be seen as a right-sided wide sliver in the night sky. Now, just think, the moon, you know, we tend to, with the way that we write, so we start at the left and we write to the right. Does that make sense? We start at the left and then if you could see me, I have a pen in my hand and I'm like starting on the left and I'm going across the page to the right. The moon is the opposite. So if you think the moon goes from right to left, so the moon starts, the crescent phase starts on the right, and then each day you'll see it progress a bit further and it's moving more to the left. So it expands slowly towards its full illumination, which is the full moon 2 weeks later from the new moon. And so this, the time of the crescent moon is beneficial for the actual legwork of manifesting ideas into more concrete reality. So if you think about the new moon, it's about planting the seedlings of ideas. And then the crescent moon, it starts to come about. It's like we start to take action, not big leaps, but more like baby steps. So after you've decided on a new course with the new moon, you articulate your thoughts to others, which is the crescent moon. You know, think of it like a building project. So, you know, here's the idea at the new moon, and then you've got the crescent moon, and then, you know, you start to say those thoughts out loud or get them down on paper, you meet people, you do some research, stretch out your hand and see what lands there. The time of the crescent moon is to check out the feasibility of what you have in mind, look through resources for the necessary procedures or tools that will make an idea and turn it into a real outcome. And so the time of the crescent moon, it's sort of like the baby step, and the new project is starting to shape up. The form is developing, and it's sort of like you're progressing. You're making stuff happen, I guess, is one way to say it. And so at this stage of the crescent moon, it's important to have the proper nourishment for sprouting ideas. I'm going to think of it like in terms, or explain it in terms of a garden. So it's like you need the nourishment to have the ideas sprout, and you just want something to start growing, and you're protecting what the project is, or the business plan, or whatever it is, during that moon phase. Then the next phase you've got is the first quarter moon, and the first quarter moon, now this label may lead you to think that you should only see 25% of the nighttime luminary, but in actuality, the name is only a reference to the phase it's in. So it's one quarter of the way through its cycle. And it does not refer to the percentage of moon visible in the sky. So I know some people get a little bit confused about that, the first quarter moon, but really it's about the cycle rather than the visibility. So you'll see, as I said, it starts from the right and moves over to the left. So you will see the right side half of the moon is viewed from the Earth. So the energy is still in the expansive waxing phase. So if you've heard of the moon waxing and waning, when it builds up to the full moon, it's waxing. After the full moon, it's waning. So the time of the first quarter moon is a time for evaluation, and it's time for taking stock on how things are progressing. And so this is usually a time of tension. It's interesting with individuals born at the time of the first quarter moon, they can live their lives with a lot of tension or making breakthroughs. It's sort of like things don't get handed easily to people born during this first quarter phase, and it's more about having to work hard and come up against friction before there can be a resolution or an outcome. So with regards to a project, during the first quarter moon, questions may arise as to the course you're taking. You know, you might have seen some initial results and must determine whether they are the kind of results you want. You know, some unforeseen obstacles or difficulties might present themselves during this phase of a project. And sometimes things might not be quite what you had expected with the first quarter moon. So decisions have to be made, and maybe a new direction could be taken. Or even it might be, you know, with regards to a project, should you continue forward or scrap the whole thing altogether? So in other words, during the first quarter phase of the moon, you can overcome obstacles with enough help, or maybe a new strategy, as I said, take a new course. So this phase typically happens It's usually the midpoint or the exact middle between the new moon and the full moon. And if you do have an astrology calendar, the first quarter moon, last quarter moon, or third quarter moon are always marked on the calendar. So just know that these both midpoints of the new moon, full moon do represent challenges and friction and difficulty and overcoming something. But here's the thing, around that type of energy, and it's very similar to squares, is breakthroughs can come about, and there's usually a lot of energy around these quarter phases of the moon. So this is a time when it's not okay to be frustrated, but expect some frustration before the breakthrough does happen. Now, the next phase of the moon is the gibbous moon, and it does refer to the waxing nighttime luminary, plumping up, filling out, but not quite full. It's like if you look up in the sky, you will see it looks full, it's getting there, but it's not quite there yet. So with regards to how to evaluate this gibbous moon during a project, so it's time to evaluate how things are progressing. An expansion, because if you think about it, you know, like the waxing moon is expanding. It's getting bigger. It's going from a dark sky to, you know, this full moon. So expansion is still a big part of this process. And so it's a time to really think, you know, all the variables, where you want them to be, are the results, are they just what you want, then you can branch out and go further with your intentions during this moon phase. You know, what it might mean is investing more of your resources on the path that you have started. And on that note, I am going to take a short break, so stay tuned.
Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience in all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi there, welcome back to the Astrology Show. I am your host and astrologer, Kelly Fox, talking about the moon phases and the asteroids as well as Chiron. So the phase I'm up to now, fittingly enough, is the full moon, which is really hard to miss in the sky. Of course, as I say every month when I talk about the full moon on the show, is it's like a giant mirror up in the sky reflecting back at you. Now, there's lots of myths around the effects of the full moon. If you think of werewolves howling at the moon, people behaving strangely during the full moon. Ocean tides rise higher due to the gravitational pull. And, you know, admittedly, some folks do behave oddly since our bodies are comprised of over 80% water. So the bright light of the full moon can cause restless slumbers, keeping you tossing and turning, having vivid dreams, because the moon also is connected into the subconscious mind. The moon can trigger intuition as well. And the moon is associated with the sign of Cancer. So Cancer is a very intuitive, instinctive sign. The moon is also about nurturing and emotions. And when it's full, it's at its brightest. And, you know, just before the break, I was talking about the different phases, the waxing phases building up to the full moon. And I was relating it back to a project or even planting seeds in the ground at the new moon or the start of a new project. Now, with regard to the full moon, it's about things coming to a head during that cycle. So also with the moon, it's like because it's such a bright light, especially with these recent super moons of last year and early this year, think of the moon's powerful beam shining a light on those dark spaces that are difficult to see. So it's sort of like the moon illuminates those things which have been in the dark previously. And of course, people born during a full moon are always very, very interesting people. Next up, we have the disseminating moon, which comes after the full moon and looks like the gibbous moon, except the fuller side of the moon is switched from the right to the left because now we're in the waning phase, which means it's reducing. So during this phase of the moon, you begin to see the fruits of your hard work and effort. So just think, the waxing is building up and then the waning after the full moon is starting to reap the rewards. And if your project has been going well, then the rewards will come. And if you've had obstacles and difficulties, then this is the time where you, what's that saying? You reap what you sow. So if there have been difficulties in the waxing phase of the moon, then the waning phase, the consequences will come. So that is that phase. And then, of course, you know, the moon's light is diminishing because the moon's getting smaller, only, of course, from our perspective here on Earth. And it's a time for sort of like trimming or slowing down as well in this waning phase of the moon. So it's sort of like, you know, sort of get your bearings and get grounded during this time of the month. It's also about simplification or reduction. Then the next phase we have is the last quarter moon or the third quarter moon. And so that reveals the left half of the moon in the nighttime sky as the moon continues its waning cycle. And so from a psychological point of view, you may feel a desire to clear out extraneous matter from your life or cluttered areas from your closet or in your home. It's sort of like getting rid of the stuff that's not working for you. It's a great time of the month to do things like that. If you think of like cleaning and clearing out the things you no longer need. And again, good time, you know, new moon's always a good time for new beginnings, but this is also a time of like letting go, getting on a diet, cutting things that don't work from you. It's also great for detoxing and good time for drinking lots of fluid, eliminating waste, you know, and focusing on digestion because, you know, the moon is about how you nurture yourself, which means food and what you're putting into your body and looking after not just others but definitely yourself. And then, of course, the final phase of the moon is the balsamic moon. And I said at the very beginning of the show, people born during a balsamic moon phase are very interesting because, you know, I've noticed and I don't really come across balsamic moon babies very often, and it's typically when the moon is in the sign before the sun. So if you're an Aries, you would have a Pisces moon, and so on. So these people born during a balsamic moon is all about endings. And I've noticed that there's a lot of endings in these people's lives, you know, moving from one phase to the next and going through different people throughout their life. So the balsamic moon, it shows a thin sliver of light in the eastern sky before sunrise as it continues waning to eventual darkness to the new moon phase. So this period is about sort of reflective. It's reflective, it's conducive to meditation, self-reflection. It's in the process of letting go until you reach a point where you can feel the results more overtly, I think. And then the initial clearing out process may have led you to simplify your life even further than you originally intended. So it's sort of like this is a time for, I guess, purification would be a good word for this balsamic moon phase. So it's like it's a time for not just reflection, but it's like using your instincts and your intuition. And it's a great time for introversion, and it's sort of like replenishment before you can move on to the next stage or the next step of something. It's good for alone time or journaling or reflecting on the things that have happened at the beginning of the project or the beginning of the month, etc. And it's time for evaluation, you know, the things that you've learned and what would you do differently. It's like a time of wisdom. We come to the maturation process where, you know, wisdom, what have we gained? What have we learnt? It's sort of like ignoring the chatter and ignoring the distractions and really sort of going internally and learning from that. So there you have it. There are the moon phases. Now I'm going to move on to the asteroids and Chiron, because I get so many questions about Chiron. So as I said in the beginning of the show, most of the planets have masculine qualities, except the Moon and Venus, which are distinctly feminine. So all that changed on January 1st, 1801, when the asteroid Ceres was discovered. The asteroids sit between Mars and Jupiter. There's something known as an asteroid belt. And then more asteroids were discovered after that. And that's when the asteroid belt was known. So I understand that there have been over 30,000 asteroids have been found, and I'm sure a lot more than just that. And at least 10,000 have names. And we're discovering more and more asteroids, I would say, every day. So asteroids, they're small and rocky. They don't qualify as planets. But the larger asteroids do have distinct qualities associated with them, according to astrologers. So astrologers do use the four largest asteroids, and that's Ceres, Juno, Vesta, and Pallas Athena, as feminine archetypes. And, of course, in addition, many astrologers add Chiron to the mix. And Chiron, I said, was a planetoid, but I was sort of, it doesn't really have a label. Some put it into the asteroid with the asteroids, but really it doesn't sit between Mars and Jupiter. It sits between Saturn and Uranus. And Chiron was discovered in 1977 and correlates very strongly with the healing principle. So many astrologers find that using the asteroids add a whole new level of information and interpretation to their work in astrology. And as I said, I always use the four asteroids and Chiron, particularly when they're with the natal planets, and especially, you know, the inner planets, of course. So Chiron was discovered in 1977. And it's more than an asteroid, but less than a comet and definitely less than a planet. And true to its maverick nature, we're still not quite sure how to classify this rocky mass we call Chiron. And so I said it was Chiron's orbit lies between Saturn and Uranus. So it's sort of like, you know, Saturn is sort of like the limiting factor of the heavens, and Uranus is the revolutionary planet, which was discovered in 1781. So this makes Chiron a link between established tradition and unknown territory. It often functions as a bridge between the old and the new, and fearlessly going where no one has gone before. So Chiron, you know, Chiron, yeah, it's definitely the bridge between the old and the new because of where it sits. Chiron loves nothing more than a challenge because of that. And so, mythologically speaking, Chiron was a remarkable character. He was the son of Zeus and a mortal, and he was a centaur. And usually centaurs were bad boys. You think about Sagittarius, is one of the symbols of Sag. But Chiron wasn't the typical centaur. He was accomplished in many fields, including music, medicine, herbs, astrology, mathematics, ethics, decorum, and the art of war and weapon making. And he was a mentor to many of the famous Greek heroes. But he accidentally wounded himself in the foot with his own poisoned arrow, creating an injury that would not heal. And from this, we derive the usual interpretation of Chiron as the wounded healer. But more and more astrologers recognize that this is an incomplete interpretation, because Chiron is so much more complex than that. And I know I keep going on, astrology is really complex. It's probably, astrology has many, many layers and levels to it, including interpretations for all the signs and planets and so on. And we start at a top level with many things, Chiron included, and then we can go much deeper into you know, what the energy of these planets etc. mean. So to focus solely on the wound of Chiron removes the attention from the more important healing aspect. So there is a Chiron expert, fellow astrologer Dale O'Brien, who considers Chiron a shaman and nothing less. And the wounding is simply part of the process, not the focus of it. And I really like the way that Dale has explained the meaning of Chiron, because I hear it many times, you know, oh, the wounded healer, the wounded healer. But what does that really mean? But it's sort of like we can move beyond. You know, we don't have to focus on what's happened to us or our experiences, but we learn from it and move beyond, and then we can teach others. So the other thing about Chiron is that it has a elliptical orbit, which means that it spends much longer in some signs than in others. And a Chiron return is when someone turns 50. Now, moving on to, because we're running out of time, I had so much to say in tonight's show. I'll just whiz through it really quickly, the four main asteroids. So Ceres, C-E-R-E-S, is the asteroid of the mother. It's also known as Demeter, and Ceres was responsible for making sure that the crops grew properly, and it's no coincidence that Ceres is shares its roots with the word cereal, because it's about nurturing again. And then Ceres, just trying to summarize this, had a daughter called Persephone, who was abducted by Pluto, Lord of the Underworld, who I'm sure many of you have heard me talk about Pluto many times over. So basically what happens is that Ceres struck a deal with Pluto, the most powerful, one of the most powerful gods of all, of course, not counting Jupiter. And so she had Persephone, her daughter, for half the year, and Pluto had Persephone, the daughter, for the other half, and it was all tied into the crops, basically. So from this arrangement came the seasons and a time when crops grew and ripened. And so Ceres is related to agriculture as well as food and its growth, production and distribution. Ceres rules cooking and baking and the food industry, and she's also connected to children because she's the mother, and related to all matters of childbirth and pregnancy, etc. She's also connected to education. Next up, we have Juno, the goddess of marriage. And this is one I always look at when I'm doing my compatibility readings. Juno, also known as Hera, was a wife to Zeus or Jupiter. There's a lot of stuff behind these asteroids as well. So this tells me what kind of soulmate you'll be and what type of marriage and commitment you are looking for. Juno rules intimacy and commitment, and determines your strengths and challenges in finding that long-term love. Next up, we have Vesta. And Vesta is, let me see here, Vesta is the keeper of the hearth. Now, again, what does that mean, keeper of the hearth? Oh, no, we're out of time. And then finally, Pallas Athena is the warrior. She is the one that was Zeus's daughter, and she was the warrior goddess, the peaceful warrior. So there we have it. Thank you for joining me on tonight's show. I wish you a great week, and please tune in to next week's show.